Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. When we think about society, we think about all the things that tend to be wrong with a society. We think about the world political stage. We think about this country, and we think about how its once great place is being displaced. How people who used to cringe in fear at this nation are now mocking and laughing and interfering in elections, interfering in the political process. We look at the political scale and the political world, and we see that these nations are bringing foreign actors into the country to undermine our politics, undermine our economy, undermine our society. When we look at this country, we see how not only in the political sphere, but in the economic sphere, everything is wrong. A place that once provided opportunities for anyone to advance, for anyone to build wealth, for anyone to provide security to their family. We see now that the rich really do just get richer and the poor really do just get poorer. And we see that there's a shrinking middle class and fewer and fewer people have any real investment in the country. And when no one has any real investment in the country, no one really seems to care about the country. When no one owns it, no one cares for it. We look at this country and we see not only the political and the economic turmoil, but we see the social turmoil. We see a breakdown, a complete breakdown of morals. We see this on every level, not only at the lowest levels of the prostitutes and the sinful people, but we see this breakdown of morality at every level. Corruption at every level, from the highest heights of government power down to the lowest lows, everyone seems to be corrupt. Everyone seems to be engaged in gross immorality. Everyone seems to be engaged in behavior that is shameful, and yet it isn't treated as shameful. It's treated as hip and current and au courant. We look at this country and we see how people who control knowledge are weaponizing that knowledge against others. We see how some ideas and some thoughts are censored and how others are given absolute free rein. Some ideas are good and some ideas are bad, but you're not free to make that decision yourself. You need to be told what to think about that. We see a breakdown of marriage. We see a breakdown of the family. We see wealth going to foreigners. We see our own country being sold out from underneath of us. We look at this country and those voices that should be the voices that stand against this, those voices that should speak against this, those voices that should say, no, this is wrong. These are often the very voices that either have nothing to say or seem to be applauding it. We have political transitions that are being foreign influence. Political transitions where foreign actors are thwarting the will of the people. We look at this country and we see that not only is this social breakdown led to political turmoil, but it's leading to political violence. Acts of terrorism, horrible acts of terrorism, and then, of course, the reprisals. Riots and robberies and lawlessness, entire highways being shut down by bandits and brigands. And those voices that are supposed to come from the religious leaders who are supposed to tell us what to do, they have nothing to say. They offer either some blithe and mindless God loves you argument just because of who you are, or some oppressive form of works righteousness, of legalism. Society, culture is broken in so many ways that it seems that nothing can hold it together. The center cannot hold, and something has to give. I'm, of course, talking about Israel of Jesus' day. I'm talking about our country today as well. But this, everything I mentioned there, everything I talked about, those are things that were happening in the world Jesus was born into. Everything that's happening now, we're not the first people to experience political turmoil. We're not the first people to experience lawlessness and riot and social breakdown. We are not. It's happened over and over and over again throughout history, and this is exactly the kind of world Jesus was born into. This is exactly the kind of world that Jesus came into. It was into this dark world that the light of the world entered. And we see the message of Jesus coming into the world, the message of Jesus coming into a world very much like ours. What is the message that God has for people when God comes into this dark world? We hear that we're not to be afraid, that there's good news of great joy, and that there's a Savior who has been born. Three key pieces of information. Three key pieces. God speaks from heaven through his angels, and they tell the first recipients of the message of the birth of Christ, the first people to hear that the Savior has been born, they are given three key pieces of information. They're told not to be afraid, because there's good news of great joy, because a Savior has been born. And this, of course, leads to the wonderful doxology, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. We see this wonderful message that in a dark world, in a world of social breakdown, in a world of political chaos, in a world where there are riots and rampant burning and banditry on the streets, we're told not to be afraid. The people in Israel in those days had many reasons to be afraid. Rome was a reason to be afraid. The foreign Herods ruling the country were a reason to be afraid. The violence in the street was a reason to be afraid. The social breakdown was a reason to be afraid. The violence in the banditry was a reason to be afraid. They had reasons to be afraid. Not to mention their own spiritual darkness, their own lostness, their own fear of the hereafter. But the angels, they say, don't be afraid. Not only don't be afraid of the angel, which, of course, is a terrifying experience from everything I've read, but don't be afraid, because there is good news of great joy. Good news of great joy. I read the news, not religiously, but fairly regularly, and do you know how often I read it and I think, wow, that's good news? Yeah. I was going to say, how often do you read the news and say, wow, that's good news? Not too often. Not too often. But here is good news. Good news of great joy. This isn't just good news in the sense of, oh, look, there's, you know, a kitten saved a dog from a fire. And, you know, that's good news, I guess. But, you know, okay. This is good news of great joy. This is good news that changes everything. This is good news that upsets all the apple carts in a good way. This is good news of great joy. Good news of great joy that is for all the people. All the people. And I know that some people want to get really theological on this, and that's okay. And they say, well, wait a second. Jesus being born was not good news of great joy for all the people, because the people who hated him, it was bad news for them. For people who would reject Messiah, it was bad news for them. Well, sure. Sure it was, but that's because of choices they made. Not because the Savior being born into the world was a bad thing. That's good news. No matter how you slice it, that's good news. That's like somebody shows up at your house with cake. You know, just because you don't like cake doesn't mean that it's not good news. It's good news when somebody brings you cake, right? Yes. This may be the worst analogy I've ever come up with, but you get the point, right? This is good news of great joy for all the people, because all the people should rejoice that there's a Savior born into the world, because all people are born of Adam. All people are the child of Eve. All people are waiting for that Savior to come and crush the head of the serpent. All people are waiting for the son of Abraham to come and bless all the nations. All the people are waiting for the son of Judah to come and have the scepter sit between his feet. All people are waiting for the son of David to come and rule and reign from Jerusalem. All people are waiting for that, because only when that happens will the world be set right. It's good news of great joy for all people. God's offer of grace is extended to all people. God's offer of the benevolent rule of Christ is available to all people. God's promise of the Holy Spirit coming to dwell inside and help you to be holy and to love God and be loved by Him is available for all the people. If you choose to reject it, that's not God's fault. If you choose to reject the grace of God, that's not God's fault. He still brings you good news. He still brings you good news. And it is good news of great joy, because the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. It is good news of great joy for all the people. That good news of great joy is that today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born. A Savior has been born. The Savior has been born, and He is Christ the Lord. He's the Messiah. He is the God-man, and He has been born. Not just born, but born to you. Look at that. It says, verse 11, has been born to you. This isn't some elite and obscure Savior who's only for the political elites. No. He's a Savior born to you, born to these people, born to the shepherds. We look at this and we say, why did God speak to shepherds? Why? Shepherds aren't important people. They're not. In fact, they're very unimportant people. In fact, they were thought of as kind of being trashy people in Jesus' day. They were people that maybe couldn't get a job doing anything else. They didn't have a trade. They didn't have land. So what did they do? They had to go out in the fields and watch other people's sheep, protect other people's property. They were low on the social totem pole. They were the outcasts. They were the people that didn't have a roof over their heads. They slept out in the fields. God comes to them. Why didn't God go to the people in the palaces? Why didn't God come to the rabbis in their homes? Why didn't God come to the priests in Jericho and in Jerusalem? Why did God come to these people? Why did God come to these nobodies? I mean, if God were to do this today, if God were to come today in America, he'd come to the migrant workers living in shanties. That's who he'd come to. He'd come to people of no and low standing. He'd come to people without political agency, without economic agency, without religious agency, people that are outcasts. God chooses them to spread his message. Well, I don't know who's in charge of God's PR, but this is the wrong way to do it. You know, the way you do it is you get some fancy people. You get some beautiful people. You get some people with, you know, tigers on gold leashes, and they're the influencers. Oh, don't you love that word? No, you got to get some influencers. And you got to get them talking on their Twitter boxes and their book faces and telling everybody how great your product is. And that's what the church thinks, too. The church is, oh, you know what we need? We need to get some more celebrity Christians. We need some more celebrity Christians to talk about how great Jesus is, because that works so wonderfully well. We think that success for the kingdom of God comes through power. That's what we would do. We would seek the most powerful. Give them the message and let them use their human influence. And God says, no, that's not how I want to do it. I want to bring this good news of great joy to the poor, homeless farm laborers. I want them to know. This good news of great joy is for them. I want them to know, and I want them to spread my message. I want them to hear the angelic doxology. This isn't for Herod. This isn't for the priesthood. This isn't for the religious rulers. This isn't for the army. This isn't for the temple servants. This is for these people. And the great company appears, and they sing those beautiful words, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." And the angels leave them, and they go into heaven. And the shepherds, they say, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about." And they leave their sheep, and they hurry off, and they find Mary and Joseph and the baby. And the baby is laying in a manger. God sees fit to send shepherds to be the first recipients of the good news, because he also saw fit to have his son be born in a stable and have a manger for a crib. The God who didn't think it was beneath his dignity to be born to a teenage peasant girl also didn't think it was beneath his dignity to have the first well-wishers be the social outcasts and losers of society. Because God has good news of great joy for them. He has good news of great joy for them. And they see the baby, and they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed. They were amazed. They were astonished. They thought it was incredible. Some of them literally thought it was incredible. They couldn't quite believe it. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And then the shepherds returned to their sheep, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Jesus came into a world very much like our own world, with the same kinds of problems we have, with the same kind of fights that we have, with the same kind of social breakdown we have. Jesus came into a world very much like our own. And just like in that world, like in this world, most of the people who seem to follow Jesus are nobodies, people of low and little account, people who don't really matter all that much, people who the society at large think are rather unimportant. And friends, that's largely us. We don't live out in the fields at night, but we're unimportant. We live in flyover country. We're nobodies. We don't really matter all that much. I mean, look around. This place isn't bursting to the gills. Places like this aren't really considered important in our society anymore and in our culture. But we have good news. We have good news of great joy. It's easy. It's very easy to look around, to read the news, as Jim agreed with me here. It's very easy to read the news and get depressed. It's very easy to read the news and say, everything is literally going to hell. And you'd be right. You'd be right. It is. Everything is falling apart. You'd be right. And then you might despair, and that would be wrong. That would be a sin. Because we have good news of great joy. You could come to this church, and you could look at how empty it is, and you could say, what's happening to our society? What's happening to our culture? Do people have no interest in God anymore? Are we truly that low in number? Are Christians really that rare in this country? You could be discouraged. And there'd be some reason for that, but it would be wrong to be discouraged. Because we have good news of great joy. We could look at all the circumstances of life. We could look at all the trends. We could look at all the statistics. We could read every Pew survey and every Gallup poll. And we could look at all the downward trends. And we could look at how the center isn't holding. And how the nation is splitting apart. And how the church is disintegrating. And we could read about all the celebrity pastor failures. And we could look at all the ignorance of church members and Christians in this country. And we could say, it's all going to hell. And you might be right. Almost. Because it's not all going to hell. Not everything is falling apart. There is still good news of great joy for all the people. And the great joy is for all the people who will accept it, all the people who will receive it, all the people of goodwill who want God's peace. For there is no peace on earth except the peace that comes inside of believers in Christ and among believers in Christ. There's peace for them. There's peace for us. There's good news of great joy for us because a Savior has been born. A Savior has been born, and that changes everything. All these exigencies of life, all these crises, all these emergencies, they're going to continue. They will continue. The world is not going to be fixed. I know that, you know, some of you and I have sat down and we have solved all the world's problems, but unfortunately no one's listening. And until Denny is made emperor of the universe, these problems are going to stay unfixed. The world is broken, and it's going to continue to be broken. That's not where we place our hope. That's not what we look for encouragement from. That's not what we look to determine our state. We recognize that there is good news of great joy because a Savior has been born into the world. He is Christ. He died for us. He rose again for us. We need to focus on those things. We need to focus on those things. We need to focus on the Christ things. The fact that a Savior has been born, that God loved us, that God desired for us to have peace with Him and peace among each other. That is our good news. And that is our good news, regardless of what happens in the world. Regardless of what happens within organized religion, regardless of what happens in this country, regardless of what happens in this state and in this city and in this community and in this church, regardless of all that, we have Christ. We have Christ. And no matter what happens, that can't be taken away. No matter what happens, my Savior lives. I know whom I've believed in. And I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know my Savior lives, and I know my Savior keeps His promises, and He has promised that He will take me to be with Him. He will not leave me as an orphan. I know my Savior lives, and He has promised that He is going to come, and He's going to set the world right someday. He will execute just judgment in the cause of all oppressed. He will rule and reign with righteousness and truth. My hope is placed in Him. My hope is not placed in this world. My hope does not rise and fall with CNN. My hope is placed in Christ. I hope and pray yours is too. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you so much for the good news of great joy that a Savior has been born into the world. We thank you that Jesus Christ was born into the world. Help us, God, to rejoice in that truth. Help us to never forget that truth. Help us to place our hope and place our joy in the truth that you came, that a Savior was born to us, and that someday he will set all things right. Help us to glorify you and spread that message. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.